recording. And that way it'll automatically have two different recordings for me. So let's go ahead and start our case studies. I think that the best way to learn is by experience. It used to frustrate the heck out of my mom when I would say that when I was a teenager, because she'd always try to save me from myself. And she'd say, look, just do what I say and you'll learn from my experience. And I'd always say to her, I don't want to learn from your experience. I want to learn from my own. I learn best from experience. So the reason that I'm really fluent and fluid with most of these cases and it comes to me quickly is because I've been doing this for 25 years. I wasn't like this when I first started out. So don't get frustrated with yourself if you're not able to look at a case and immediately come up with ideas. Okay? You'll get there, but you've got to go through hundreds and hundreds of cases in order for you to get really good at picking up those pieces. And even then, there's some cases that are going to stump you, believe me. So we're going to go into cases, and I'm going to share with you some of the stuff from the history and some of the stuff that's missing in the history of these cases. So we've got, this is Claudia's case, and she has a 68-year-old female who's 5'4", 195 pounds. So right away, what do we know about Claudia's person? Is she underweight, overweight, or is she ideal weight? No, different Karen Maria. It's Karen Nasella. Okay, so she's a sign language interpreter, hand analysis, and biofeedback provider. So she's got an alternative bent here. We can see by the hand analysis and biofeedback. Divorced and has one child. Okay, but her top three concerns are weight gain. She's shot up to 195 pounds. She's got a fatty liver, which is a medium concern. And she has bloating without gas. And when extremely stressed, she gets temporary diverticulitis. So right away, I want to know more about that because that doesn't tell me enough. Bloating without gas. So what we want to do for each of these symptoms, these main complaints that the person has, is we want to do what I call a history of the complaint, a history of the complaint. So we basically want to look at weight gain. Okay, what does that mean, weight gain? When was the last time you weighed a normal weight? And we're going to get to that later on because she says it a little bit further down in the case. When was the last time? How long? What was happening right before? What was happening in your life? Was there travel? Was there a change of job? Was there a move to a new house? Was there a change of diet? What happened right before the weight gain? Fatty liver. What does that mean? Does that mean that you've had an ultrasound and it showed you had a fatty liver? Does that mean that the doctor said, your lab tests tell us fatty liver, so we want more definition there? Somebody might write down. Some of these more sophisticated patients will write down diagnoses rather than symptoms. So you've got to get down to, what do you mean by this? How did this present? How long has this been going on? Bloating without gas. Okay. So great. I get what bloating without gas is. The stomach bulges out, but there's no passing of gas. So I want to know, how often does that happen? What's the timing in relationship to meals? And this is super important. What's the timing in relationship to stress? Is there a particular location where they're typically at? So if it always happens in the morning after they eat breakfast, but it doesn't happen in the afternoon or the evening, some of the questions you're going to be asking are, what are they eating for breakfast that they're not eating for lunch or dinner? So you want to try to isolate, is it particular foods, right? Or is it a particular exposure, or is it eating under stress or whatever? So we're going to get to that. And as I get through a little further, I'm going to open up Claudia's line to see if she has any additional information about these. So currently, she's not getting any care, okay? So she's not under the care of a particular doctor, functional medicine practitioner, et cetera, because she's exhausted with trying. She's tried everything, quote unquote, and she's having a hard time paying money to get this thing looked at. And she's not getting any useful advice. And this is common. You're going to see this a lot. But you also want to know more about, what have they tried? Not just, well, I went to this doctor and he didn't help, or I tried this. Really, what exactly did they do? What dietary changes did they make? What environment changes? Did they make stress changes? What drugs did they get put on? What procedures did they have? So get really down and dirty and detailed with people. And they will appreciate it. Some of them might get annoyed, but most of them are going to appreciate it because nobody's taken the time to really ask. I am shocked sometimes at the number of people who say, I've tried everything, and you ask them questions and they haven't tried anything that I would have tried. Or they've only done one or two. So there's always that opening. And it always feels frustrating and sometimes overwhelming when somebody says that, oh my God, how can I help? But then you see that there was a lot missing. So this person's had surgery. These are the surgeries. She had, at 14, she had her appendix removed. At 24, she had her tonsils removed. And she had a C-section at 44. Okay, so we look at the appendix and tonsils and we say, okay, what part of the system are the appendix and chat? Hang on one second. I'm looking at the chat and Karen says, I'm here, but I can't figure out how to put my name in the chat. You're already there, Karen. I see you. Your name is there in the chat. Tonsils and appendix. Okay, anybody want to put in the chat what part of the body do the appendix and tonsils belong to? You're going to say, wait a minute, what do you mean? Tonsils are in the throat and appendix is in the gut. What are they part of? Yay, June, immune system. They're both part of the immune system. So she's had two pieces of her immune system removed. The reason most of the time that the appendix or the tonsils get swollen and then end up being removed is because what? They're doing their job. Okay? So what the medical approach is, this organ is doing its job and it's getting swollen. Let's not look for the root cause of why it's all swollen. Let's just take it out. But what happens? Well, we haven't addressed the root cause. And so whatever was causing the appendix to the lymph tissue to start to try to protect the body, it's no longer there. The appendix, the protection is no longer there. But the problem hasn't been resolved. So to me, this says, so from the time she was 14, she's been having gut issues. She's been having some gut, and she may have some organisms overgrowing in her gut that have never been addressed because her appendix was getting inflamed, and it would get inflamed because it's trying to fight and protect. Same thing with the tonsils, right? The tonsils get swollen because there's upper respiratory infection. There may be something going on in the throat, in the sinuses. And when you take the tonsils out, yeah, you don't get tonsil swelling anymore, but you also don't get the protection. And now whatever that was gets to go down into the lungs, which can create problems in the lungs. Okay? So these are things you have to think about when people have had simple routine, right, routine surgeries like appendix and tonsils. No, part of the immune system was ripped out because it was doing its job and nobody ever looked for the root cause. So that's where she may have a chronic sinus infection that's not been dealt with, you know, low grade, whatever. So we're going to ask her lots of questions about her respiratory system. Does she get, you know, inflammation? Has she gotten eczema? Does she get bronchitis? Not eczema, emphysema, bronchitis, any kinds of things like that. Does she get sinus infections? Because a lot of times people don't even put that down on their history form because, well, of course, everybody gets sinus infections once or twice a year, like, or has low grade postnasal drip. Okay, so we're going to ask those questions to see what some of these underlying things are. Got it? The body tries to protect itself with extra layers of fat when it can't detoxify fully. So toxins that are fat soluble that cannot be broken down into water soluble because the detox pathways are jammed or there's genetic problems with it or they're overloaded, the body then takes those fat soluble toxins and creates fat to put them into, right? So we want to look at all this stuff. And sometimes people will say they have really bad symptoms when they start to lose weight or they go on your program, which is a cleansing and helps them to get rid of some of the extra fat, and they feel worse because they're releasing a lot of those stored toxins. So a lot of stuff comes out, right? You're like, wait a minute, all we did was say she has had her appendix removed and her tonsils removed. And this was a long time ago, right? Because she was 14 and 24 and now she's 68. So she's been living with this. So we get a lot of information from simple historical facts. And then she had a C-section at age 44. Well, that could have been anything. It could have been a breech baby, but we want to know why. right? Did she fail to go into labor? Was there other risk factors? What's going on there? Simple, same thing too. Some people will just write down, they had a hysterectomy, no big deal. Woohoo! That's a huge big deal. Why'd they have the hysterectomy? It's not that they just have these organs removed, but whatever the imbalance was, is probably still there, right? So lots and lots of stuff you get out of a history. Really fascinating. So let's talk more about this woman. Okay, so she says she's on a paleo diet and a supplement regime. And when we look at her diet in more detail, we're going to see it's not really a paleo diet, at least not consistently a paleo diet. So you say, they say I'm on a macrobiotic diet, a paleo diet, a vegan diet, a raw diet, a low histamine diet. What does that mean? That goes back to the before saying we have to get a diet history. We have to get a diet history. Cool. So we want to know more, and we'll get to that in a bit. I'm going to open up Claudia to get some clarifications in a bit. But I still want to know what more. She says she had functional testing 3 or 4 years ago. She had her thyroid, hormones, heavy metals, food sensitivities. They were non-conclusive other than reactivity to beans and milk. I'd still want to see these tests. So does she have the tests? Can she get access to these tests? Just to see what was going on, especially with thyroid, okay? Because there could be this whole autoimmune thing going on. She also had 4 chelation therapy. She was high in lead. So I would want to know, how did they determine it? How was it tested? Was it hair test, stool test, urine test, blood test? And what was the result? How long did she do the chelation for? And was the lead then gone after that? A lot of times they just do these tests and then they do the chelation and nothing happens. And they don't go back and retest, so you don't know if it was actually gone. The other red flag that comes up for me when it says chelation therapy is, was the person who did the chelation therapy really careful about replenishing good minerals? Because chelation can remove the good stuff, the zinc, the magnesium, the manganese. And I want to know how she did the chelation. Was it an IV chelation with EDTA or DMPS? Or was it an oral? Or was it a suppositories? How did they do that chelation? She said she went on an elimination diet and only dairy was problematic. So I want to know what that was. And what does that mean, only dairy was problematic? Because she still has all her problems. So how did she determine that it was only dairy that was problematic? Because usually when you do an elimination diet, the symptoms go away, and then you add the things back and they come back. Stress test, her heart. 1 year ago, that was normal. Okay, that's pretty obvious. Like, I wouldn't be digging too much into that one. She had an abdominal CT scan to check for cancer. And they found that she had 16 inches of subcutaneous fat. And at age 24, I don't know what the age was. So Claudia, you can clarify that. Write it in the chat. At age something, because it was blank, she went from a 24-inch waist to a 48-inch waist at 64. So when was it that she had a 24-inch waist? So at age 52, she had a 24-inch waist. And at age 68, she has a 48-inch waist. So at 24, at 52, she was still a nice, slender person with a nice, small waist. What happened? What happened when she was 52? What happened right before that as her waist started creeping up? She did physical therapy last year to address degenerative discs, so she's got degenerative discs. Okay, what does that say? Right, either she's been in some major trauma or she's not very good at collagen formation, and she's missing some of the nutrients required to keep the discs nice and plump. So it could be wear and tear, but even if it's wear and tear, you always want to not get out, okay, what's the nutrients required for collagen? There's amino acids requirement, there's manganese, there's a bunch of other things, the chondroitin, the sulfur, etc. And now she just started exercising one-on-one with a trainer. That's a good sign. Now you want to also find out more about that too. How long is she doing it for, etc. So let's look at some of her positive health habits. She's not drinking or smoking. She's sleeping 7 to 8 hours a night. And what's written is she's eating well. What does that mean? What does that mean? You want to see a diet diary. She's drinking lots of water. What does that mean? I had somebody say, yeah, I drink lots of water. I drink at least a quart a day. And I'm looking and going, but you weigh 150 pounds. Why would a quarter day be lots of water? It's not, right? Half the body weight in fluid ounces plus another 8 ounces for every 15 minutes of really heavy exercise or sweat.
Okay.
Meditation, that's good. Find out a little bit more. Is she doing it daily, weekly, regularly? She just started 2 days ago, that kind of thing, and she's now starting to exercise. Great. And I don't mean to be picky, but this is the stuff we need to know. You can't take their history at face value or you're not going to get to the root cause. So what are some of her negative health habits? This is the only ones that were listed. Financial stress, on a scale of 1 to 10, it's a 5 or 5 plus. It's always there. Her only son decided to join the Army. Thus, the emotional stress also adds to the stress load. That would be a huge stress. He's still in college. Okay, so these are big stressors, financial stress and emotional stress. What else does she have as negative health habits? Let's look. So her current medications, she's not on any. Her current nutritional supplements or herbs and why. So it wasn't listed why, they were just listed. So first of all, when you're submitting cases for us to do on these calls, it's really important for you to make sure that you have the information that the questions are asking for, because I ask them for a reason. I ask them because they're important for us to know, to be able to best help you to know what the next steps are. I also want to make sure that you're aware that the purpose of these cases is not for me to solve it for you. It's for me to give you what the next steps are. And in many cases, it's going to be part of the solving. But I want you to have an idea of what you should be doing next. So she's taking fish oil, okay. What, you know, I want to make sure she's taking, is she taking Walgreens brand fish oil or is she taking Nordic Naturals? Is she taking one that's been third-party tested for contamination? And also knowing how much is really important thing. She's taking vitamin D. How much vitamin D? Has she ever been tested for vitamin D? Has she been low in vitamin D? What's the status of her vitamin D? Because vitamin D is pretty critical for any kind of problems that a person may be having. She's taking a B-complex, the same sort of thing. Are they activated forms? Is it cyanocobalamin? Is it folic acid? Is it a good high-quality form? Or is it Walgreens forms, right? Same thing with the minerals. There are cheap forms of the minerals that nobody digests. Or is she taking a good form and what minerals are in there? What brands? These are really good things. And I'm going to show you in a little bit. I'm going to show you a form that you can use to get all this information. Enzymes, same thing, you know, when is she taking enzymes? Is she taking them regularly? Is she taking them with each meal? How long has she been taking them, et cetera? Flax oil, and then some additional items at times, okay? So what determines what she's taking at other times? Like, we really, really want to get picky, and having forms that they can fill out really helps you to get this information. So here's a form that I use. You'll have all these slides. In fact, let me give you the links to these slides, because you can have access to these slides immediately, and I'm going to give you the links to these slides now. I'm doing it right now, so you may not be seeing the screen share because this little thing is covering it for the moment. I need a piece of paper for the mouse. The mouse doesn't like the shiny, it doesn't like the shiny surfaces. That's it. Okay. So I'm going to give you the links and then you can just download them right away. All right. There's two links I'm going to give you. One is says CMDS retreat slides. The other says CMDS retreat PF slides. PF stands for printer friendly. That's our internal nomenclature for that. We usually do four per sheet. Some people like to save printer paper and just print out big, the ones that they actually want. But that one, okay? So you'll have access to this form. It's in the slides, and you can create your own version of it, right? You can just say, okay, I like this column, I like that. You may have your own stationery, however you want to do it. But these are the things I like to keep track of. I like to know the brand name. Because people say I'm taking XYZ supplement, then I can actually look it up to find out more. With the internet, it makes it so much easier these days. Years ago, I used to have them list the ingredients. I like to know the brand name, the supplement or herb name. So it might say Pure Encapsulations B-Complex. Right away, when I see that, I go, oh, yay, I know Pure Encapsulation B-Complex. I know she's taking a really high-quality supplement. Walgreens, CVS brand, right? You're going, huh, let's take a look at that, because there's usually a lot of junk in there to make them cheap. And then the dose and form. So is she taking 3 drops? Is she taking 1 capsule, 1 500-milligram capsule? Because it doesn't help to just say, I'm taking 1 capsule. If you don't know what the dose is, you want to know what the doses are. Because if they're on stuff that you think they need, but they're not on enough, sometimes all you have to do is up their doses. Take in some water. All right. Here's the next piece, timing and frequency. So are they taking 3 drops once a day, 3 times a day? And you want to get the realistic. Is it what they're supposed to be doing versus what they actually are doing? Like sometimes they're saying, well, you know, whoever told me to take this or I read about this, I'm supposed to take it 3 times a day, but I only take it once a day. Timing and frequency. And you also want to know, like, in relationship to meals, are they taking it before meals, during meals, after meals? Because sometimes they're taking a whole bunch of stuff that they shouldn't be taking together. Sometimes they're taking, like, say they're taking protease enzymes for pain and inflammation, but they're taking it with their meal. Well, the protease enzymes are not going to help with pain and inflammation. If they're taken with the meal, they're going to help with digesting the food. So you can help them. What? The PF slide goes to an Amazon page? That's kind of weird. Let me check that out. They worked last night when I put them together. All right, we'll check it on a break. Let's look it up real quick, but that's my Amazon. There must be some error when my assistant made that link last night. All right, or this morning. Let's go back. All right, we'll check that out at the break. All right, so this is good. So purpose. This is so amazing, okay? So people may be taking something because they read it about it in Women's Day magazine. Others may be taking it because they did a test with a functional medicine practitioner and it showed that they needed it. You want to know why they're taking it, because sometimes you get people coming in with this laundry list. You also want to know when they started it. And some people don't remember the exact date. So you say, well, was it 3 years ago? Was it 6 years ago? Was it 2 months ago? When exactly did you start taking this? When did you stop taking it, if you stopped it? They'll say, well, I'm not taking that anymore.
Oh.
Why did you stop? I got pain. I got gas. I got bloating, etc. And then any comments? And this is more you're going to fill in as they go along, but any comments about how that worked for them? And then with the ingredients column, you know, if it's a simple thing like, you know, it's got 3 ingredients, I may write it down with the dosage. But most of the time in the ingredients column, I just put a link to a place online where I can find the ingredients and then I can check it out. And then later on, if I'm going back through it a couple of months later and going, why isn't this working? Or what do we need to switch? I'll go and look at that and I go, oh, wow, I didn't realize this thing had rice flour in it. And this person's allergic to rice or they're insulin resistant and they don't do well with rice. Okay, so use this, okay? And when you're providing information for cases, that's the best bet is to give all this stuff. So let's look at her dietary app. This is a person who has an excellent diet. She's using cream in her coffee, 1/2 cup a day, trying to get off coffee completely. Now let's go back to the history where she said everything was fine except dairy. She's eating dairy daily in her coffee. Coffee thins the mucous membranes. Coffee stimulating can affect the adrenals. Has tannins in there. It's acid forming. We don't know if it's organic coffee. We don't know if it's organic cream. But this is the person who said she had an excellent diet. Okay? Okay. So a lot of people say, well, it's not my diet. I've done everything. No, she hasn't done everything. And this is like, I say, see this and I go, oh, great. We can just get her off a dairy, get her off in a detox program. There's a whole bunch of stuff we could get her to do that I think will get her results relatively quickly. So once a week, right? This is occasional, right? If she said once a year, she has a bag of chips. That's one thing. But once a week, like what kind of chips? What kind of oil is used in those chips? A whole bag. A whole bag is considered 8 servings, right? So it's not like she has an occasional treat. She has a bag of chips once a week. That's not good. Usually eats extremely well, but and not too much. I'm sorry. That's not my definition of eating extremely well. This is not my definition of eating extremely well. She's eating cream every day in her coffee, and she's found that she has an allergy to coffee. Okay. We don't also know what kind of chips, and you know, I'm suspicious that this person has some insulin resistance going on, even though her numbers don't look like she does yet. Okay. So these are really important things. Okay. So next, let's go to the next one. So here's what I recommend, right? Don't take them at face value. You know, I have a good diet. It's not my diet. You know, it must be some nutrients that are out of balance. No, no, no. So find out what they're eating. This is one of my forms. Again, you have it in there. You can create something similar. You can, you know, create it the way you like it. Everybody's a little different in what they like and how they want to track the information. The date and the time, very important. What's their emotional state before they eat? What foods did they eat and what symptoms did they experience after they eat it or during their eating it? Okay. So if you can get them to track their food mood. It might be like they have eaten breakfast at 7 a.m. and you write that down and they were stressed when they did it or they were calm when they did it, whatever. But here's the thing. You go to the symptoms, like say at then 11, she gets a headache, or at 12, she gets bloating. You're not necessarily going to fill out every column, right? They didn't eat any food, but they got bloated. You're still going to put the date and the time. So here's what it might look like. The date is 1-8-17. The time is 7 a.m. Relaxed, drank her cup of coffee, had a bagel, a whole wheat bagel, and some orange juice. And that's it, right? So then at 11, or let's just say 9, she's feeling stressed and she's got bloating without gas, which is one of her symptoms. Okay. So this is a thing you keep track of. And then at noon, she starts to have cramps. And at 1, she feels exhausted. So you're tracking everything so you know, and you can go back and say, huh, well, at 7, she ate this stuff and now she's feeling these other symptoms. There's a good chance there's a relationship. Okay. So that's one way. Another way is a more sophisticated way that I use with people when I'm looking, want to look at their blood sugar. And when we look at our labs, I'm going to explain to you why I want to look at this person's blood sugar. But this gives you more stuff to track, you know, their pulse and, how much water they've had, the energy they've had, bowel movements, digestion, location, if there's pain, and then blood sugar. So this is another more sophisticated one. And again, you may look at these two and create your own that makes sense for what information you want to gather and how you want to gather it. Okay, so let's look at her toxic exposures. During the first 13 years of her life, she lived in a home with a coal-burning furnace, okay? And when she was 14, she had her tonsils removed, right? What did we say? Our appendix removed. I wonder if there's a connection. We don't know if there is. We're just thinking about this, right? And I have this really cool timeline. I'll give you a link to it. Where you can keep track of it. It was a freebie that I gave when people, some people who are both in the IRSBT program and CMDS maybe already have it. There's a heavy metal test she did that showed lead. But again, I want to know what kind of heavy metal test. Was it stool? Was it urine? Was it provoked urine or not provoked urine? Was it hair, etc.? She's had major exposure to poison ivy at the age of 50 and was prescribed prednisone. Oh, at 52, she started to gain weight, right? Became very agitated and even a bit psychotic. This was the first time she ever gained a substantial amount of weight. So now we're looking at maybe some of this exposure, this weight had to do with the prednisone, right? Cool. We're getting this stuff. We're getting it. She had a major exposure to chlorine gas for 9 years from age 55 to 64, all in the range where she was consistently gaining weight. She had all these exposures. She lived above a large pool. She could smell chlorine on her skin all the time and still can. Okay. So chlorine exposure. What does chlorine disrupt? What's one of the things chlorine disrupts that could lead to weight gain? Anybody want to throw that one out there? Thyroid, brain. It can affect your brain too, but thyroid is what I'm thinking of. Thyroid is what I'm thinking of because the chlorine is a halogen and it's in the same, periodic table column as iodine. And so the chlorine, as well as bromine, can do it too, can latch on to the receptors for iodine and prevent the thyroid from getting the iodine it needs to make thyroid hormone. Okay, you see how all these little things are coming together. You experience the thought process that goes through when you're hearing this. You don't take anything at face value. Okay, so what else? Signs and symptoms. She was traveling for work as an actress for quite a few years. She was in South Africa at age 34 and suddenly got bloated and developed persistent acne. This might be when she first developed the bloating, right? We want to ask too, though, did you have other experiences before that with the bloating? She might have been exposed to a parasite, right? And it just, her body took care of it, got rid of it. But that could be something that's still living in her at a low grade that's creating the symptoms she currently has. Her sister has Hashimoto's, and this is Claudia's statement, was she doesn't have any of this other symptoms of Hashimoto's other than weight gain. And so this is where you want to start asking more questions about that. I don't know whether this was Claudia saying this or whether this was the person saying it. She doesn't have any other symptoms. So you start to ask, what about dry skin? What about cold extremities? What about intolerance to cold? That was her statement, Claudia, right? So you ask her the questions. You have a list of thyroid symptoms. And if you don't already have those, you get those. We have those in our thyroid program, our Thyroid Revive and Thrive program. You have access to that assessment. Yeah, so you ask her, okay, you say, oh, what other symptoms? What about constipation, right? What about constipation? What about dry skin? What about hair loss? What about high cholesterol? I mean, there's all these things that could be affected by thyroid. You can't go by the person, right? So she said, no constipation, dry skin, or hair loss. Good, great. Okay, so maybe she doesn't, but still in all, she has this weight gain. She was exposed to chlorine. I'd want a thorough thyroid panel. The statement says before that she had these functional tests done. So let's get those results. Okay. This is funny, I think. The doctors always tell her she must have good health habits because they can't find anything. Her resting heart rate might be high, 72 beats per minute. Almost all the weight is located in the midsection. I think, this is on the next slide. I forgot to take it off here. Yeah. Okay, so the doctors are saying nothing's wrong. I will beg to differ when we look at her labs. So almost all the weight is located in the midsection, which feels mostly squishy, but at times feels firm. Okay, so squishy weight is usually subcutaneous fat. Firm is either visceral fat around the organs, but that would be more consistent. That wouldn't be at times. Or firm can be lymphatic swelling. So all the little lymphatics around the intestines start to get inflamed because of an exposure, right? And that, to me, when it comes and goes, said there's a food allergic component or an exposure component, something she's taking in. Okay, so let's just take a moment to talk about the symptom of bloating without gas. So first of all, bloating. And there's this process in medicine that's called a differential diagnosis. Since we don't use the diagnosis word, we more use assessments evaluation. We're going to do a differential evaluation. We're going to say, well, what are all the kinds of causes of bloating? Well, you can have bloating if there's small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. That's usually with gas because the reason for that is the buildup of methane gas. You can have bloating without gas when there is a lymphatic swelling. And I'm very suspicious here that she has that because she says the fat around the middle is mostly squishy, which is subcutaneous fat. but it can feel very firm at times. Extremely rich foods such as lobster or large steak can cause diarrhea and leave skid marks in the toilet bowl. So Claudia's comment is that fat malabsorption? Yes, it very well could be, right? And she doesn't present with SIBO symptoms other than the bloating. And I would agree, based on this, that it doesn't seem like it's a SIBO-type bloating. It could be, but it doesn't seem like it. So let's look at her food and lifestyle habits, and then we'll move on. And if there's any other clarifying things, Claudia, put them in the chat. And Lynn points out that lobster might also have heavy metals, which is true. Any kind of seafood has that. But I don't think a heavy metal exposure would cause immediate diarrhea. Diarrhea is usually a gut issue, right? It's obviously something has been that the body's trying to expel and get rid of, but it could be fat malabsorption. I would be asking a question like, when you get that diarrhea from eating those fatty foods, is it steatorrhea, which is a very pale stool, or is it the dark stool, or is it just, you know, completely watery? You want to ask more questions about that. But here's some of her habits. She did in the past, it sounds like she's starting up exercise again. She's getting outdoors and in the sun, so maybe her vitamin D is good, but I'd still like to see it. She did in the past on relaxation, so I want to know more about that. But she does say 5 times a week or more for meditation, and I believe that that's a form of relaxation. She never drinks greens. She does eat vegetables 5 or more times a week. This is where we want to go more. This is just a standard little questionnaire that we check off the stuff. So in terms of eating vegetables, like what vegetables is she eating? Some people consider potatoes and sweet potatoes as vegetables, right? Carrots, creamed corn. This person doesn't sound like she's a canned vegetable type of person. But what does that mean, eating vegetables? And how does she feel when she eats vegetables? And how much? Because vegetables should be making up 75% of the diet. She doesn't drink alcohol and she does consume caffeine. She never drinks soft drinks. So she's got a lot of really good habits, but she consumes sugar 5 or more times a week. When I hear that and I hear I have a good diet, those are very inconsistent. Somebody who drinks coffee and cream every day and a bag of chips a week and sugar 5 times a week is not my definition of a good diet. So there's a lot of work here that you can do, right? And again, Lynn points out what form of sugar. You're always going to ask that. How is she consuming sugar? Like, where is the sugar in? Is it a teaspoon of sugar in her coffee? Is it, you know, and what form of sugar? Now, you know, I think that any form of sugar is going to feed dysbiosis and create blood sugar imbalances. So whether it's honey, molasses, maple syrup, agave, brown rice syrup, or pure sugar, it's all the same when it comes to blood sugar imbalance and gut flora. But yes, it's important to ask that, but how is she consuming it? Is it in her coffee? Is it in a cookie that she's eating? Right? You want to find out where's that sugar coming in. She's eating out 3 times a week. Here's another big exposure, right? People think they eat well, but when you eat out 3 times a week, it's hard to eat well. Like, what is she eating when she goes out? If she's eating meat or steak or lobster when she goes out, then those are not going to be organic. If she's eating grains when she goes out, those are not going to be organic and GMO free. So she could be inadvertently exposing herself to tons of stuff. So you really, really, really need a diet diary from her, Claudia. She doesn't drink tap water. That's great. Does that mean she doesn't drink water when she goes out or she orders bottled water? So I always ask that. She does drink purified water and she's sleeping 8 hours or more. So she's got a lot of really good habits. So what we're trying to do, and I'm not trying to be critical by any stretch or put people down. What I'm trying to do is get to, on a seemingly healthy person, what are the things that are causing problems, right? How do we find this? So this is some of the labs, and I just want to point out, when you're submitting labs to me for a case, pictures from your iPhone, and these all came in, by the way, on their side. So we had to do some fancy footwork to get them, you know, turned around. It is a good quality, though. I can read it. But it, some of it with the shadow over things makes it really hard to read. So I would highly recommend that if you're going to be uploading labs for a case, that you do it in like a scanned version of it rather than a photo, or you be just really careful how you take the photo so we don't get shadows and that they come in right side up. Makes it easier. It made a lot of work for Lynn and I to straighten these things out. So I've got some of these labs here, but I also, Lynn took the time to actually put this on one of our Master Health tracker sheets so that we can actually see in comparison to the ideals. So if we look at this, we don't have anything flagged as high or low. Her glucose is 75, which is perfect. Her fructosamine, which is kind of a measure of longer term glucose control over a course of a month. It has to do with amino acids that are sugar coated, basically similar to hemoglobin A1C, 1.54. So it's right within the range. So it doesn't look like there's indications of chronically elevated blood sugar, but she does have a 75 first thing in the morning, which may be perfectly fine, but we may also find that she's producing too much insulin throughout the day and she's having periods of low blood sugar spikes, but low, and then low blood sugar, but we don't see the spikes because of excess insulin. So we can still be in a state where there's some excess insulin happening, but not quite at a resistant state yet. Our creatinine is 0.66, which is actually not in, we'll see this when we look at the other chart. It's not actually in the ideal range. The glomerular filtration is fine. Her alkaline phosphatase is fine. Her liver enzymes, SGOT, PT are fine, but GGT, gamma glutamyl transferase, is on the high side. We'll see when we look at for ideal ranges. It's not outside the lab range, and that's related to toxic exposures. So this can be another clue. Got it? Total protein, 6.7, albumin, 4.5, and globulin, 2.2. Okay? So let's look at the next, because those are actually not in the ideal range. Let's look at how they look on the sheet. So we took these and put them on our tracker. Those of you in NEPT have seen this before. We use these all the time. It's a wonderful spreadsheet that we put all the numbers in. And then see how when we put the 75 in for glucose, the cell turned green. And that means that it's within the ideal range. The lab range, you see, is much wider. Right? So we're being much more specific. These are the ideal range, are the ranges we want to target for our clients. Creatinine, though, look at that, is a little bit on the low side. It turns yellow because it's outside of the ideal range, but within the lab range. And then the GFR is fine. So let's look at the next page. Look at the, we've got a few things that are off that are considered outside the ideal range. Protein's a little bit low, instead of 6.9. At the bottom of the ideal range, she's at 6.7. The globulin is 2.2, which is low. So to me, remember I said earlier, on a blood test, you say, how can I tell if somebody has digestive issues on a blood test? Well, the way that you tell is by some of these markers. So if their protein's low, and globulin is a kind of protein, but globulin's also related to the immune system, immunoglobulins. Remember that? So she's got some low proteins, which is leading to low immune function, which might be contributing to what's going on for her. So protein and globulin are low. GGT is a little bit high. And again, that's a subtle sign that she's body's working, her liver's working hard to eliminate toxins. And we already talked about she's had a lot of toxic exposures between the coal and the chlorine and possibly some parasite exposure when she traveled to South Africa. Here's some more. Her cholesterol's high-ish. It's on the high end of normal. Her triglycerides are way high. Her HDL is, it's okay, but the ratio between her triglycerides and her HDLs will tell us whether there's a indication that there's some insulin resistance going on. Her triglycerides are high. It says to me, whatever she's doing in terms of sugars and carbohydrates in her diet is too much. And that's usually why triglycerides get high, right? That's a kind of fat. And this is something that needs to be addressed. Her ratio of triglycerides to HDL, I like to see it around 1. You know, a little more, a little less, fine, but 2.7 is pretty darn high. And her cholesterol, her low density is high. So remember, before we said just she doesn't show any other signs of thyroid issues. I think she does. right? Because her lipids are not ideal. Oh, Claudia said your scanner got stuck. I see. So what she eats is egg and a small salad for breakfast, super salad for lunch, protein and cooked vegetables for dinner, small amount of nuts and seeds. Yeah. So I would say, we want to know, is she eating only organic, animal products? And what kind of protein is she eating for dinner? People say protein, right? Protein. What's protein? Well, protein could be, it could be tofu. It could be, beef. It could be eggs. It could be anything, right? And everything has protein, by the way. And what's in the salad, Lynn says. Yes, absolutely. How big is the salad, right? So this is just to show you that there were a couple of other things in here that we don't have in our sheet, which is the, VLDL. So if you look down there, the VLDAs are actually okay, they're on the higher end of the normal range. I'd want to know from an ideal perspective, it's probably a little bit high. The VLDLs, that's even smaller, very low density lipoprotein. So there's definitely a lipid issue going on here. And her cholesterol HDL ratio, we like to see that 3 or less, and it's too much, right? So even though the cholesterol is not really too high, in relationship to the HDLs, it is, and her LDLs and her VLDLs are too high. So she definitely has some lipid issues. Okay. She had a cancer marker done. So I wanted to show you this. It was 1.2. It was fine within the range. And the NT-proBNP, those are, that's produced by the heart in relationship to heart failure, hypotension, et cetera. And that looks like it's within range. So the main things that we're seeing on her blood panel are indications of malabsorption with low creatinine, low protein, low albumin, and indications of excess fat, and toxin exposure and possibly thyroid, but we don't see thyroid. Nobody tested her thyroid. And I think that that's a really important follow-up for this person, is that we need to do her follow-up. Okay. We need to do her thyroid, a complete thyroid. Okay. It's important. This is her urinalysis, perfectly fine. Everything looked negative. There was no protein, no blood, you know, no sugar in the urine. The urinalysis was fine. Okay. So mostly organic food and paleo. So here's where I will take exception to the paleo, right? Paleo. Paleo means no sugar. Paleo means no dairy, right? In paleo, we don't do coffee necessarily, okay? So there's things she can call herself paleo, and that's just a label that we get a general idea. And she says it because she's not eating a lot of grains, but she is eating chips, okay, which are grain, and they're not paleo. So she's not consistently paleo, and that's all. No dairy, no sugar, but we said five or more times a week she is eating sugar. So what is that sugar? We need to find out. So I would want to see not just her general thing that says this, that, or, you know, I eat eggs and then salad or whatever. I want to see the exact food she eats, every morsel she puts in her mouth from the time she wakes up to the time she goes to bed. And sometimes there are surprises, right? They think they're eating a certain way, but they're not. So she clearly has some things. No dairy and no sugar. That's not true. She drinks coffee. Yay, she's doing the sweet spot. I'm excited. Yay, she'll get a lot of this handled. Yay, super. So it's a paleo style, but there's still dairy and sugar. Yay, good for you, Claudia. We'll look for her. Yay. Okay, so detailed diet and symptom. Okay, so these are the things that I would want you to be doing from here on in. A review of her body symptoms. Do you know of any other things, Claudia, and you can open up your line if you want to tell me these things. Do you know of any other symptoms that she's having? Did you do a complete review of her body systems, like sinus issues, lung issues, coughing? She says bloating without gas, but how many bowel movements a day on average? just a bunch of different things from all the body systems. And then the CMDS assessments, because if you go and do her CMDS assessments, all of those assessments we gave you, including the nutritional ones, you're going to be able to map them on that chart. The detailed diet and symptom history, and you can make your own chart to give her based on what we just shared with you. You want to support her protein digestion. So really start at the top with the stomach acid and enzymes and all those things in CMDS. And Claudia says we didn't have a lot of time. So great. So this is not meant to criticize you. This is meant to give you what you need to get her, to get from her next in order to move her through. So that's great. And then address other areas, that any other areas that show. So you're going to start with the upper. You're going to make sure that when she's eating, she's doing her stress management before, because she's got a lot of stress in her life, so that she's sitting and she's breathing and she's being aware of that. So teach her that. And then address any other areas that show in those assessments. So digestive enzymes, I think you said she's already taking those, probiotics, et cetera, et cetera. And then any other nutrients that show. I would be supporting her liver as well. So let's look at the next intervention steps in a moment. So this is the thing, right? So go through her, have her do it all, create a card like this for her, Claudia. You've got this in CMDS. You've got a full-size version of it in the book. You can just print it out and then just have her do it or have her do the assessments, and then you fill it out and keep track. So I would highly recommend you do that. And then use this chart based on what you find there to help you figure out which of the interventions might be worthwhile to do for her, and then prioritize them based on her numbers, based on her scores. So that's the process I would go through. And then testing follow-up, I definitely want to see her get a vitamin D test. Definitely want to see her get a vitamin D test, okay? What does that mean, though, Claudia, when you said it came out normal? And what does it mean, a complete thyroid panel? So if it's normal by our standpoint, great. But did they do free T, total T4 and free T3, so you can look at the ratios? Did they do the antibodies? And did they do reverse T3? So those, you have to make sure that they did that, and those are in line. So if she hasn't already done it, if she has, then absolutely you look at it. But it has to be a complete thyroid panel, because I want to make sure that she doesn't have antibodies here, especially with a sister with Hashimoto's and some of the things she's having. So I want to make sure. Okay. I would put her on a cleanse, you know, and she's going to do that. She's going to do it within Sweet Spot. You know, it's going to be a elimination diet and really clean eating. And then if she doesn't, if there's still some things that's not happening, then a stool test to see if there are hidden bugs that she's been carrying, maybe for as long as since she's 34, right? She do a blood sugar screen. She's going to do all that in the Sweet Spot, right? And if that, if necessary, we do an adrenal testing or possibly a Dutch test, and then the thyroid screening. So those are the things in future. Right now, I'd really look at her vitamin D to make sure she's taking the right amount of vitamin D. Okay. So I think that's all I had for this. Let me just see if I had anything else before we, yeah, that's my next one. All right. So what I want to do is open up Claudia and see if Claudia has any questions or any additional things. And then if you guys have any questions or comments about this, and then we'll take a break before we go on to the next case. So this was a really good case, Claudia, because it really gave us a lot of great information. So Claudia, where's Claudia's line? I don't know if I can open Claudia. There we are. I'm going to unmute you, Claudia. Hi, any questions, comments, additions you want to add to this?
No, I don't have questions and comments. I was trying to get some more of the information via text from her. We just met basically, pretty recently.
Okay.
She's my daughter's boyfriend's mother, even though they have been together for a long time, but we never met. So I decided to do this literally a day before, because they said, why not, you know, submit your case? So it was kind of on a very,
sure,
you know, with very little time at my disposal. And, I, you know, she has a health folder, and I was pleading with her to look for it, but she has, you know, she works a full-time job, and then she does the biofeedback and everything else afterwards in the evening. So she was, you know, tight on time.
Okay. And she sounds like she's open to making changes, obviously, if she joins Sweet Spot. And so, you know, there's a lot I think you're going to get. I think you're going to have tremendous success with her.
Excellent.
I really do. Because, you know, and get really at, really look at the, tell her you want a detailed diet diary of every morsel, because, and explain to her that the, that hard bloating that she's getting, it may be a lymphatic swelling in her gut based on something she's eating. It may be a simple food. And sometimes when you get those food allergy tests, they don't they don't figure it out. Plus, she's eating dairy, and that showed up to be problematic for her.
That's what got me a little bit, because she is pretty conscientious. And when she told me she has dairy in or cream in her coffee, it kind of stumped me. But I was a bit speechless when she said that.
Yeah.
Well, because I was just surprised. It wasn't in line with the discussion we had the rest of the evening.
You know, but here's the thing, though. Most people, they don't realize, oh, it's just a small amount. I mean, how much could an ounce of cream in my coffee have to do with it? They don't realize the way it works. And if you can explain that to her, it sounds like she's going to be open to it. You explain to her, you know, a lot of people think that if they're allergic to something, as long as they mostly avoid it, it's okay. But it's not, especially in your case, because you're having these symptoms. So let's do an elimination process. She'll be doing it during CMDS for 30 days. I mean, that's CMDS sweet spot, right?
Right.
And yes, so April points out, yes, there's all those questions you want to know, like how often, how soon after she eats does she get bloated? How long does it last for? When does it go away? Does she wake up that way? That's what I meant by the history of the chief complaints. You always want to find out for every symptom that they want help with, and then for others that you see that besides that, you always want to know, when did it start? How often it's happening? How soon after eating does it happen? Because that helps you to determine what might be going on, right? And does it happen after every meal? But does it only happen after breakfast when she has cream in her coffee, right? Or does it only happen after she has her chips, right? So you find out more, right? And you get to see that, and you want to see every morsel that goes in, because what you just said was, oh, she eats the eggs and salad for breakfast and this and that and the other thing. Well, I didn't see anything about the coffee, the cream, or the chips, or the sugar in there, right? Where is that sugar hidden? Maybe it's raisins on her salad. I don't know. Maybe it's sugar that she puts in her coffee.
And the coffee kind of stumped me a little bit. I understand, you know, that a lot of people have big attachments to coffee. So do I, and it's hard to get rid of it and not to reintroduce it when you smell it.
Yeah, it is. But here's the thing. Get her attached to what she wants most. Does she want to drop this weight? Does she want to stop the bloating? Does she want to, you know, have a long, healthy life after this? Or does she want to drink coffee, right? And so that's where a lot of people just think I'm crazy starting with getting people in touch with what they want most, but it's really important, because when they see it in that perspective, oh, you're right, you know, which do I want more, to lose this extra weight or to drink coffee, right?
Yeah, no, I think she's right.
Sounds like it, because she's already done a lot.
Because she already is down to half it.
She
did, and she's really, I mean, she was very tiny and always muscular without having to do all that much for it. And she feels kind of like she's in the wrong body. So she is, and she put a lot of money into trying to figure out what's going on. And it's just kind of exhausted and would love to do more. And I think that's why she also signed up for the sweet spot program.
Absolutely. So she's going to go through that. That's going to help a lot. She's probably going to need some specific addressing her liver, maybe with some milk thistle and some other things like that. But I think just the sweet spot diet is going to help a lot, because it's going to help support her liver. But I think some toxic exposures really started this, and maybe you can make that connection for her, right? I think the toxic exposures, and I really want to see the thyroid, because with that chlorine and iodine load test, if the thyroid comes out relatively normal, right, then it could be thyroid receptor resistance. And then I would do an iodine load test to see what's happening, an iodine with all the halides, so that you can look to see is there chlorine or bromine blocking those receptors.
Oh yeah, it puts me right to sleep. If I ever go into a tub or something like this, I might as well go turn the light off for the next hour.
There you go. Okay, great. Anybody else have questions or comments? Let's see. Where do you find that chart? Well, it's in these slides, but it's also in the CMDS. It's the protocols, like putting it all together, and it's also further down, and it's also in Grand. So it's in the Grand program guide that we give the people in Grand. So you've got that in a lot of places. That was a question from Shonda. Oh, there you go. Lynn always can come up with it. I can just say vaguely, and she came up with it. Optimizing digestion. digestion protocols, putting it all together. Yeah, that's a module, that's a presentation I created that just kind of puts it all together. It's a repeat, a review, and it's a great summary. Thank you. All right, let me look back. You know, and Lynn asked, with the paleo, what forms of meat does she eat? That's great, because is it bacon and sausage versus is it, you know, organic bison, you know, or wild free range bison or fish or whatever. Yeah, and a lot of things like you want to be asking, these are great questions that people are pointing out. How does she respond to raw versus cooked food? Does she do fine either way? Does she do better if she eats cooked vegetables versus raw? You know, it might indicate an inflammation in her gut. Let's see. April saying sugar is inflammatory to thyroid as well. That's totally, yeah. Let's see. If you've put any other questions, or Lynn, if you've seen any other questions that haven't been addressed, just go ahead and repeat them, because they keep coming, and Lynn put a bunch of stuff in them. Yeah, what's Patty says that stuff's awesome, but what? I lost my chat. All right. Well, I'll look through the chat on a break. And if there's any other things there that I want to make sure that we address, we will. And then we'll go to Karen's case. So let's take a 15-minute break. We'll come back at 1 o'clock my time, which is 2 o'clock on the east and, 11 o'clock on the west, and figure it out wherever you might be. If you're in Europe, it's, whatever in the evening. I know there's some of you from Europe as well. So we'll come back then, and, we'll just put this on hold. I'll stop the recording and we'll talk to you in a bit. Bye. Get this. Darn it.